Hi, I'm Stuart Spinks, and welcome to episode 292 of my podcast, Beekeeping Short and Sweet. Well, after a very long enforced absence, I'm back, and here we are in March, looking forward to some warm, sunny weather, but not just yet. Time to sit on your hands. Beekeeping Short and Sweet, a beekeeping podcast for the inquisitive beekeeper with a short attention span. A beekeeper, in fact, just like me. Today's podcast is sponsored in part by Healthy Bees, Heavy Hives, a new book on beekeeping today with a focus on helping you maximise your yields and, hopefully, increasing profitability in beekeeping. Featuring clear diagrams and beautiful photographs that complement a relaxed and humorous writing style, which is both enjoyable and informative to read. Available now at Northern Bee Books, Amazon, and all good bookstores, both online and in your high street. You'll find links in today's podcast notes. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. It's been a bit of a break, really, and I apologise for that. It's been an enforced break, unfortunately, due to ill health and a general predisposition, it seems, for me to pick up every single cold, flu, bug-type infection that's been going around this winter. It's just been, for me personally, the most awful winter in terms of these bugs. And I've also had my rather frightening health scare, which I've documented on one of my recent videos on Patreon. So if you haven't seen that, pop along to that and just have a look at that and all will be explained. But now we find ourselves at the beginning of March, and really there's only one thing to discuss immediately, and that's the weather. I'm looking out of the window here and it's raining yet again. It looks as if February is going to be the wettest February on record for us here in East Anglia. And really, I don't see any end to it at the moment. It's been quite cold just recently, so we've had some very chilly nights. I've not seen any frosts, but they are out there, and it's not looking like it's going to warm up anytime soon. So I think we just have to, dare I say it, grin and bear it until such time as the sun can really start to warm everything up and we can start to enjoy some of this spring weather. Because of my health problems, I've unfortunately missed the beekeeping show, as you will no doubt be aware. My apologies to Alex and Rob, the organisers, for that. I was really disappointed not to be able to be there, but there's just no way I could have travelled. And I've also had to cancel several talks with various associations here in the UK. So again, if you were one of those associations that had me down for a talk, I apologise for not being able to make it. You can probably tell I'm still full of cold. I've picked up another blooming bug this week. I've spoken to the doctors and they've put me on some antibiotics, so I'm hoping that's going to clear up this latest round of illness. I just seem to be so pathetically sickly at the moment. It's just not much fun, to be honest. Anyway, let's move on and just briefly talk about a change in plans, because all of this various kind of illness and health scare situation has made me sit down and have a very serious think about what we're going to do for this season. You'll know by now, most of you will know by now, that I'm a huge fan of planning for the beekeeping season. And we had got some pretty good plans in place, I thought, and we were looking to expand and replace colonies, and everything looked like it was going along quite nicely. We'd still got quite a bit of cleaning to do, and that's all sat in the background still. But we've had to sit down, Steph and I, and discuss exactly what we can do, given my current health situation. So we're going to be knocking back the number of colonies that we're using through this season by a fairly significant amount. It's going to be probably cut back by half. So we would normally have, I guess, around 120 colonies in the spring, and probably sell some of those, look to make some splits and then build them back up for the summer period to around maybe 150 colonies. But this year we're having to really take things sensibly, and actually we're cutting back to around 60 colonies. And I think that's probably, the way I feel at the moment, going to be as much as I can probably cope with. How are we going to do this? Well, we've got several colonies that are going out for sale. So we've sold a number of colonies, and I think natural losses, ironically, this winter, it has been very mild. We haven't had much cold weather, and it does look like we're going to get an awful lot of colonies through this season. Ironically, I mean, in the past, we've had some winters where we've lost quite a number of colonies. But so far, I think it's looking likely to be around the 8 to 10% mark, which is okay. I'm quite happy with that. That means that we're probably going to unite quite a number of colonies. We've also got plans to carry out some shook swarms. We're going to carry out those shook swarms on colonies that are on quite old comb, and we'd like to get them off that comb and onto some new fresh wax, and really look to replace an awful lot of the old wax that we have in some of our colonies. And in doing that, we're going to be able to unite several colonies as well. Probably not at the same time, for those of you that are unfamiliar or even familiar with shook swarms. We're not going to shake two colonies into one box, but we will maybe just unite colonies, get the brood out by way of using a queen excluder and allow that brood to emerge, because I think our overwintered oxalic acid treatments have gone pretty well. The bees seem healthy for the most part when we were looking at them with that oxalic acid treatment. So I do think that they will fare quite well into the spring. But obviously, if we see any signs of varroa, then what we can do is carry out that shook swarm and simply remove all of the damaged brood that we can see. I guess where you can make a judgment on what you're seeing, and if you feel that there is a very heavy loading of varroa mites in a particular colony, you can simply carry out a shook swarm, feed them well, and they will pull that wax later in the spring very, very quickly. So you don't tend to lose a great deal by carrying out a shook swarm, and I think the benefits far outweigh any of the issues that a shook swarm may throw up for you. So it's worth considering. It's a good method to use, and one that I've used over the years very successfully. And we will shoot a video showing the shook swarm, although we have got several, I think, that we've already produced in the past, but it's always good to update them. So we will carry out a shook swarm on video and show you that process once more. Moving on and looking at the month ahead, there's really not a great deal to say, I would suspect. Currently, there's nothing to do in terms of the bees. I would say get yourselves out into the apiary, have a little look at what's going on. Ideally, when it's warming up, maybe around lunchtime if you can, and just see if you've got flying bees and just check to see that they're bringing pollen in. If you've got a nice warm day, hopefully we'll get some of those soon, but if you've got a warm day, just check to see that the pollen is going in. And that's quite a good indicator to say that there's brood present in the colony and that the queen is laying. It's not always the case, but it is a fairly good indicator. If you've got varroa boards, it might be worth popping them in and just doing a varroa check, maybe over the course of a week, just to see if you've got any varroa dropping naturally. So if you see varroa after the autumn and winter treatments, and you've got a varroa board in, and when you take it out you can see the mites on that board, then it might be worth considering a spring treatment for that colony, because any varroa in the colony of any number at the moment is going to cause you problems when you get into the summer. It won't be so much of a problem in the spring unless there's a very heavy loading of varroa, but it will cause you issues as that varroa multiply and you get that exponential growth as you hit the kind of summer and early autumn months. So worth considering a spring treatment before you get into any kind of nectar flow for a honey crop. The other thing to do right now is to check for food. So hefting, I've shot several videos showing hefting. It's well worth getting out there, going around the colonies and just lifting them up at the back. Heft them, see how heavy they are. And if you feel that you want to feed them, then give them some food. It's as simple as that, really. Some fondant. At this time of the year, I would still go with fondant. The only change to that is when it starts to warm up a little bit more, and you might want to give what's called a stimulative feed, and that would be a light sugar syrup feed. And the reason we do that is to try to encourage the queen to start laying eggs at a higher rate than perhaps she is laying currently. And the way that works is that they get that light sugar syrup coming in and automatically see an increase in food. And that kind of looks like it's an increase in nectar coming in. And so the queen starts to lay more vigorously. It's also a good time to feed some pollen substitute. If you've got some pollen that you've collected from your colony over the previous year, maybe in the freezer as we have, then it's a good time to give that. And the reason for giving that is because it provides extra protein for the larvae that might be being looked after right now. And on days like today, where maybe we've had bees in the previous week or so flying and gathering some pollen, getting a little bit of nectar from the various plants that are starting to flower, the queen may well have started to increase her laying rate. And as a result, they need more protein. And if you suddenly hit, as we have at the moment, some cold, wet weather and the bees can't get out to fly, then obviously you're hitting a point in time where they may suddenly run out of that all-important protein for the larvae. So it's really worth considering some pollen substitute at this time of the year. This absolutely is not the time to be inspecting your colonies. And I would say that when you're looking at the bees, if you see them flying, then that's probably a good enough indication that they're okay, and I wouldn't yet go into them. It can cause more problems than not, especially if you try to inspect the bees on or around a relatively cold, damp day. It can really ramp up problems with chalk brood, so just be careful that you're not inspecting them when it's too cold and damp, because you might be doing more damage than good. The other things to be looking at this time of the year really are back at the workshop. So have you got enough equipment ready to go? Have you cleaned everything up? I am very guilty in not having everything cleaned up at the moment, but make sure that you've got your queen excluders ready to go on. Those will need to go back on fairly soon. And one of the big questions I get asked at this time of the year is when to remove the super from beneath the brood box where people have under-supered or nadired their hive. So that's placing the super on the floor and then the brood box above that to overwinter it in that upside-down configuration. Well, it's still really early. There's no need to rush out there and move that super back above the brood box just yet. You've got plenty of time, really. And I would say if you left it until the end of the month and the weather somehow warmed up dramatically in the next week or so, and the queen had been down into the super and laid some eggs, it's not really a disaster. As long as you get that queen back into the brood box, you can then swap them around. and you're not going to need to take that super off for some considerable time. So if you've got eggs in there, it's only going to be 3 weeks before that brood emerges, and then the bees will naturally fill it back with nectar and convert that into honey. So it's not going to be a major problem. I know people do panic a little bit about when they should move that super back above, but honestly, just be patient, don't rush into it, and the bees will be better for it. Finally, if you have unfortunately suffered any losses, do make sure that you block them up and remove them from the apiary at the earliest opportunity. It's really worth getting them away and just having a quick look to find out why they may have failed over winter. There's lots of reasons why it might have happened, and I guess the more common reasons or causes for that are that the queen has failed, or maybe the queen has become a drone-laying queen, so she's still in there, but the hive is just full of drone brood. It might be that it's a varroa problem, so even though you've treated them, it may not have been as effective as you'd have hoped, and the varroa may have caused a problem. You've also got a situation, and this is certainly one that I've been guilty of in the past, where I've tried to get a colony through the winter that's just too small. You think that, actually, I've made this nuke up in the autumn and they look okay, they've got a laying queen, but in your heart of hearts, you know that they're actually a little bit on the small side and possibly won't make it through. And then when you get through into the early part of March, you find that they have died out, and it's because they were too small to start with. And the final possible cause would be starvation. And that could be through not having enough food in the colony throughout the winter. It might be that the colony became isolated from the stores that they had, and it might be that you just weren't able to get the food in the right place to feed the bees over winter. So putting fondant on them wasn't in the right place above the brood area, and so the bees were reluctant to move to it. So there are lots of reasons why colonies fail. Get them out of the apiary, get all the equipment cleaned up, and be ready to start again in the spring. Well, that's it for this week. I hope you don't mind my rather off-the-cuff, unscripted podcast this week. It's all been a little bit last minute, and hopefully, as we move forward, I'm going to become healthier and I'll be able to get some more guests on board so that I can do some more interviews, because I know from the feedback that I've had that you really enjoy that. And if not, I'll try to do my best to help guide you with more tips and techniques as we get through into the beekeeping season. Don't forget to check out my website, www.norfolk-honey.co.uk. And for all of the videos and podcasts with more tips and techniques, please do check out my Patreon page, www.patreon.com/Norfolk Honey. And I'll leave links to everything in the podcast notes as usual. Do drop me a message if you need any help and support, but if not, we'll catch up next time. And remember, I'm Stuart Spinks, and that was Beekeeping, Short and Sweet.